I used to think that saving water was mostly about being a good neighbor or a steward of the land, which is true, but it took a hefty, unexpected bill for me to realize that it's also about being a good steward of my own wallet. I remember standing in my kitchen a few years back, staring at a water bill that had somehow doubled over the course of 2 months. I spent the whole afternoon crawling around the crawl space and checking the meter, convinced there was a massive pipe burst somewhere under the house. It turned out there wasn't a single catastrophic leak. Instead, I had a guest bathroom toilet with a flapper that didn't quite seat right, and an old shower head that put out enough volume to fill a small pond every morning. Those tiny, constant drips and high-flow fixtures were literally pouring my hard-earned money down the drain, gallon by gallon. That was the day I stopped looking at low-flow fixtures as a sacrifice, and started seeing them as one of the few home upgrades that actually pays you back every single month. When we talk about water-saving fixtures today, we aren't talking about those frustrating showerheads from the 90s that felt like being spit on by a tired garden hose. Now, we use physics to our advantage, mixing air with the water to maintain pressure even when we're using less volume. It's a bit like how a focused nozzle on a hose works. You don't need more water to get more power, you just need to manage the flow better. If you look at your current faucets or showerheads, you might see a rating like 2.5 gallons per minute. By switching to something rated at 1.8 or even 1.5, you are cutting your usage by nearly half without actually feeling a difference on your skin. That's the goal here. We want the same comfort and the same cleanliness, but we want the meter outside to spin a lot slower. Before we get our hands dirty, I want to tell you about a mistake I made during that first frantic weekend of upgrades. I was so eager to stop the bleeding on my bank account that I went out and bought the most expensive high-tech dual-flush toilet I could find. I dragged it home, ripped out the old one, and realized halfway through the installation that the rough-in distance, that's the space from the wall to the floor bolts, was 12 inches. But the fancy new throne I bought was designed for a 10-inch offset. I tried to force it to fit, thinking I could just shim it or use an offset flange, and I ended up cracking the wax ring and causing a slow leak that rotted out a section of my subfloor before I even noticed. I learned the hard way that preparation isn't just about having the right tools. It's about measuring twice and accepting the dimensions your house gives you. Now, I always take a tape measure to the store with me, and I check the specs on the box 3 times before I even head to the checkout line. To get started on these upgrades, we really only need a few basic things. A good set of channel locks or an adjustable wrench is essential. I also like to have a roll of white thread seal tape, which a lot of people call Teflon tape. This is that thin, stretchy ribbon that we wrap around threaded pipes to ensure a watertight seal. You'll also want a bucket and some old rags, because even when the water is off, there is always a little bit left in the neck of the pipe that wants to spill out on your floor. Before you touch a single nut or bolt, you have to find the shutoff valves. For a faucet, they are usually right under the sink. For a shower, you might have to go to the main water shutoff for the whole house. I always give the handles a firm turn clockwise until they stop, and then I open the faucet to let the remaining pressure bleed out. If the water stops flowing, we're safe to move forward. If it keeps trickling, that valve might be old and leaky, and we might need to address that first. Let's start with the shower head, because it's the easiest win in the house. Once the water is off, I take my wrench and fit it onto the flat notches of the shower arm. I turn it counterclockwise, feeling for that initial snap of the old mineral deposits breaking loose. Sometimes it's stubborn, and you'll feel a bit of resistance, but steady pressure usually does the trick. Once the old head is off, I use a rag or an old toothbrush to to scrub the threads of the pipe coming out of the wall. You want those threads clean, so the new seal is perfect. Then, I take that thread seal tape and wrap it around the threads 3 or 4 times in a clockwise direction. This is important, because if you wrap it counterclockwise, the tape will just unspool and bunch up when you screw the new shower head on. I smooth the tape down with my thumb so I can see the outline of the threads beneath it. Then I hand tighten the new high-efficiency shower head onto the arm. I give it one tiny extra snug with the wrench, but I'm careful not to over-tighten. You can actually crack the plastic housing or the brass fitting if you go too far. Moving to the bathroom sink, we're looking at the aerator. That's the little mesh screen at the very tip of the spout. You can often unscrew these with just your fingers, or perhaps a pair of pliers if it's been there for a decade. If you look inside a standard aerator, you'll see a wide open mesh. A water-saving version has a much finer restrictor. I like to replace these every few years anyway, because they get clogged with little bits of calcium and grit. When you put the new one in, make sure the rubber washer is sitting flat inside the housing. If it's tilted, it'll spray water out the sides like a fountain. I screw it back on until it's finger tight, and that's usually all it takes to drop your sink's water usage by 30%. The biggest job, and the one that saves the most, is the toilet. If you aren't ready to replace the whole porcelain throne, we can achieve a lot by just replacing the internal guts. We're looking at the fill valve and the flapper. After I've turned off the water at the wall and flushed the tank to empty it, I use a sponge to soak up the last inch of water at the bottom so it doesn't end up on the bathroom rug. I unscrew the supply line from the bottom of the tank. This is where that bucket comes in handy to catch the drips. The fill valve is held on by a large plastic nut underneath. Once that's off, the whole assembly lifts out. I replace it with a high-efficiency fill valve that allows me to adjust the water level in the tank precisely. I want that water level to be about an inch below the top of the overflow tube. If it's too high, it constantly leaks into the bowl. If it's too low, you don't get a clean flush. Installing the new flapper is where you really feel the difference. The flapper is that rubber plug at the bottom of the tank. Over time, they get soft and warped, which leads to that ghostly running sound you hear in the middle of the night. I choose a flapper that is adjustable, usually with a little dial on it that controls how fast it closes. By setting it to close a second or two sooner, we use less water per flush, while still clearing the bowl. I clip it onto the pegs at the base of the overflow tube and attach the chain to the handle lever. I make sure there is just a little bit of slack in that chain. If it's too tight, the flapper won't seal. If it's too loose, the handle won't lift it high enough. Once everything is back together, it's time for the moment of truth. I go back to those shutoff valves and turn them on very slowly. You'll hear the hiss of the water rushing back into the pipes and the air being pushed out of the lines. I watch the connections closely. I'm looking for even the tiniest bead of water forming at the base of a thread. If I see a drip, I give it another eighth of a turn with the wrench. I flush the toilet and watch the flapper drop firmly into place, listening for that silence that tells me the leak is gone. I turn on the shower and feel the spray. It should feel robust and full, even though I know there is less water moving through the air. You might be thinking that these small changes won't add up to much, but the math tells a different story. A family of four can save tens of thousands of gallons a year just by making these three simple swaps. It's a strange feeling of satisfaction when you realize you've improved your home's efficiency with nothing more than a wrench and an hour of your time. You aren't just saving money. You're making your home run a little smoother and a little smarter. I'll tell you why I love this kind of work. It's because it takes something invisible, like water flow, and puts the control back in your hands. You can hear the difference in the pipes, and you can see the difference in your bank account. It's about taking care of the things that take care of you. Next time you hear a drip or see your bill climb, don't just get frustrated. Take a look at those fixtures, and remember that you have the tools and the knowledge to fix it yourself.